The Raggy Omar Report on the trail of Radovan Karadzic. Accused of war crimes, we hear from the man himself.
Join me for the real story on how he managed to evade capture and prevent himself from being taken in front of the war crimes tribunal.
As Bosnia seeks to overcome his legacy, Raggy Omar meets those victims who accuse him of war crimes, as well as those who revere him as a national hero. The Raggy Omar Report, at this time on Al Jazeera.
Iran wants to purchase the Russian-made S-300 surface-to-air missile defense system. Israel has been actively working to block the deal. But Iran already has other defense systems to confront any potential Israeli threat. The Tor-M1 is a Russian-made surface-to-air missile system. It is the cornerstone of Iran's defense system to protect its nuclear facilities. With the ongoing stalemate in the sale and delivery of the S-300 to Iran, the Iranians are believed to have their eyes on another air defense system, the Buk, a medium-range surface-to-air missile system developed by Russia. The Tor-M1, along with the Buk system, constitutes a potent defensive shield.
We provide Iran with missile defense systems of a lower grade than the S-300 or the S-400, but they're still capable of protecting Iranian airspace.
The fact that somebody has anti-aircraft missile batteries does not necessarily curtail the ability of the Israeli Air Force to operate. It just compels them to operate differently. But they don't lose their operational capability.
Aware of international isolation, Iran is trying to achieve a totally self-sufficient armaments capability. But a lack of strong technical expertise is believed to have inhibited Iran from indigenously developing and manufacturing advanced armaments. This weakness means Iran only has the capability to produce lower technology weaponry. Tukan believes Israel maintains the striking edge with its ballistic missiles, especially the Jericho missile.
Israel has produced Jericho 2s and 3s that have the range to reach into Iran. Now, if all things fail with using their aircraft, they obviously have the option of utilizing their ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads.
Jericho 3 is the long arm of Israel. It has an estimated range of between 5,000 to 11,000 kilometers, depending on its payload. The Jericho 3 gives Israel nuclear strike capabilities within the entire Middle East. In his study, Tukan calculates Israel would need 42 missiles to effectively destroy the three main targets in Esfahan, Natanz, and Arak.
The distance is something like 2,000 kilometers. The accuracy of 2,000 kilometers is not in meters, it could be in kilometers, in 1,000, 2,000 meters. So you need a nuclear warhead to create that blast to do the destruction capability that they would require.
The use of ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads could create a regional Armageddon, a scenario the Iranians claim to be prepared to confront.
I see such an attack as possible, but unlikely. Israel knows that even with its resources, it is not capable of achieving its military objectives. The possession of long-range aircraft and so on does not indicate the possession of military prowess and the will to take the action. Furthermore, the Islamic Republic of Iran has taken adequate provisions to counter any such action, and in particular to retaliate against it.
The Shihab 3 is the longest-range missile Iran has successfully tested in public. Classed as a medium-range ballistic missile, its range is enough to put targets in the Gulf and in Israel within reach.
Iran would have the capability to retaliate so they could very easily launch their missiles against Israel. Now, we don't know if they do have any, let's say, chemical, biological, or radiological.
They have thousands of missiles, of medium-range missiles, which can hit Kuwait and Bahrain and American forces in the Gulf. But as far as missiles that can reach Israel, probably at the moment they have like 100 missiles, these Shihab-3 missiles.
لا أحد يعلم عدد صواريخ في إيران.
No one knows the exact number of missiles Iran has.
لأن إيران قد تملك 100 قد تملك 200.
It could have 100 or 200. No one knows. But is Israel capable of taking all these hits?
هل إسرائيل قادرة على تحمل كل هذه الضربات؟
They can stand to take a nuclear hit and survive. If Tel Aviv is hit, it's over.
Israel knows more than anyone else the danger of an Iranian response. Israel lacks a clear strategy towards Iran, and the proof is that it issues such threats.
In June 2009, Israel's Minister of Defense, Ehud Barak, was in Washington to discuss the sale to Israel of the Vulcan Phalanx machine gun. The gun can fire 3,000 bullets per minute. It can shoot out of the sky short-range rockets, such as the type fired by Hamas from Gaza and Hezbollah from Lebanon. Israel is developing the Arrow anti-ballistic missile system with US cooperation. This is currently Israel's primary means of defense against long-range missiles, such as the Iranian Shihab-3, that pose a greater threat to Israel. The Arrow 3 anti-missile missile system is a longer-range upgrade to Israel's Arrow defense system currently in operation. It is designed to intercept incoming enemy missiles at higher altitudes and farther away from Israel. The earlier Arrow 2 missile system is currently in operation and is designed to intercept medium-range missiles such as Iran's Shihab-3 and Syrian Scud-B.
Any Iranian bombardment would have to contend with many Israeli attacks in return. Israel has the ballistic capabilities to respond to Iran. At this point, the region could witness a protracted war of long-range missiles.
The willingness of Israel and Iran to both procure and develop ever more sophisticated weaponry could create a dangerous momentum towards conflagration. And there is a great danger and fear that the confrontation would spread and draw in other countries in the region.
My view is that an Israeli attack would be very foolish on the part of Israel, and it would not be welcomed by the United States. Any Israeli attack on Iran would be seen as enjoying America's backing, blessing, support, whatever, even if we were not involved at all. And that would not be to America's interest.
If the Iranians hold the U.S. and its allies responsible for any future Israeli attack, Iran will not only target Israel but other countries as well, meaning the Arab Gulf states and the U.S. military bases in the Gulf. This would pitch Iran into a wider war against a group of very powerful countries.
In May 2009, French President Nicolas Sarkozy was in the United Arab Emirates to officially open a French military base there, France's first permanent base in the Gulf. The base is being seen as a reassurance to the Emirates, which, along with its other Arab neighbors, is concerned about the nuclear threat posed by Iran.
The French naval base is the first non-US base in the region, which is significant. This means the US will not be the only country controlling the security in the Gulf.
As
a military man, I do not regard the strengthening of military capabilities in the region as being against me. It's the Anglo-Saxons, more than us, who should question the establishment of a French military base in the Emirates. For us, any type of extra-regional presence is illegitimate, be it English or French.
In mid-May 2009, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Egypt and Jordan, telling them that they needed to work with Israel to counteract the Iranian nuclear threat.
This is a wish that the Zionists pursue, but it's not one they can realize. The grounds for its realization do not exist. Furthermore, the people in the region say something different. And today I can see that the leading politicians in the region also say something different.
The Iranians have been seeking good relations, correct relations with the Arab world over the last decade and more. And I think that still appears to be still the Iranian policy, which is good. But that doesn't mean that the Arabs are not apprehensive, nervous about Iranian intentions. But that doesn't make them an ally of Israel.
For Israel to continue on this approach that everything is an existential threat, and it is sitting on over 80 or 200, our prediction is that it has over 200 nuclear weapons. And it's sitting on over 200 nuclear weapons, and still is occupying the West Bank and Arab land, and refusing to go into any negotiations, withdrawals, and many other things, and stopping settlements, etc. We don't really think that there will be any Arab support or acceptance or understanding to what it is that they're talking about, the so-called existential threat.
If this is the last resort, no other option, if there is an existential threat for Israel, and Israel would have to attack Iran, still I'm saying don't do it unless you do something else which would give you the legitimacy. And this legitimacy is peace with Syria, peace with the Arab world, and above all the creation of a Palestinian state and solving the Palestinian problem, which is an Israeli problem.
But peace with the Arabs and the creation of a Palestinian state does not appear to be top of Netanyahu's agenda. On June the 14th, 2009, the Israeli Prime Minister laid out his vision for the future of the region. He cited the threat from Iran as being Israel's primary challenge. In their first meeting since each took power, Netanyahu and US President Barack Obama grappled with rare US-Israeli differences over Middle East peacemaking and how to deal with Iran.
I think the engagement approach of Obama is reducing tensions all over. I believe the Iranians will engage Obama. I believe the Iranians are interested to deal with Obama and make a deal with Obama. Let's see whether they can agree on the terms of the bargain.
Ahmadinejad's win in Iran's disputed presidential election in June 2009 may have been a setback for Western powers, hoping for a more moderate leader. The region and the world is now watching to see what lies ahead during Ahmadinejad's second term in office.
The Israeli ultimate hope is that the Americans would do it. That the Americans would attack Iran's nuclear sites if it is needed.
Israel has various capabilities to hurt Iran, and in turn Iran has the ballistic missiles which could hit and seriously harm Israel.
The lesson of the Iraqi war is that military force is not the solution to essentially political problems. So my answer is we can not afford another war because it doesn't accomplish the goals.